Welcome to Amplify, the personal brand business show. Today on the show, Bob is speaking with Louise Brogan.
When I go to a conference to speak and I know that room is full of people who want to hear what I have to say, that's wonderful because I'm going to go and I'm going to speak and people are going to come up to me afterwards and ask me questions. We're all going to have really, hopefully, really get something out of it. And LinkedIn is the same. So you go to LinkedIn and if you build a network around you, like a network of value, so that's people who are interested in what you have to say, they share stuff you're interested in, and you start to build a following.
Hi there, and welcome back to the Personal Brand Business Show. My name is Bob Gentle, and every week I speak to amazing people who share their secrets to building, marketing, and monetizing their expertise and the mindset you need for your business to grow and thrive. If you're new to the show, then while you still have your device in your hand, whether it's a laptop, which will be bigger than this if you're on YouTube, or your phone, hit the subscribe button. On Apple Podcasts, that's the very discreet looking plus up at the top right hand corner that you may never have seen before. And you can thank me for helping you find that with a 5-star review wherever you listen to podcasts. So I introduced this by saying every week. And honestly, Louise, it's not been every week for a little while because I have a hellish start to the year. I had, and this is by way of explanation for the listener, just so you understand what's been going on with me recently. I haven't been as consistent as I normally am at the start of the year because I had a huge operation on my ear, which was super weird. I can tell you about that later, Louise. And then I pulled a muscle. No, I didn't pull a muscle. I tore a muscle in my back, which had a cascading effect all around me. And just I was just buckled for the first quarter. So for my dear listener, sorry I've been not quite as present as I am normally. But we've got lots of really good shows lined up for the next few months, the most awesome of which is Louise Brogan. Louise, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Bob. And I'm really sorry about your ear and your back.
Well, the ear is a wonderful thing because I actually lost an awful lot of the hearing in this ear. And then by the miracle of science and robots, they rebuilt my ear. So it's all back to 100% now.
Good. That's good to hear.
And yeah, these things happen. So Louise Brogan, for the listener who's meeting you for the first time, can you maybe just start by telling us a little bit about who you are, where you are, and what you do? Then I have many questions.
Okay. So my name is Louise. I am a mum of three. I am a podcaster, YouTuber, and I run a business that is all about LinkedIn. It's a LinkedIn marketing agency. We do LinkedIn content done for you services, and I do LinkedIn training and workshops. I'm a small business champion for the UK, which I love. It's really funny when you've been in business 10 years. Like yesterday, I met a couple who are starting to do business in America and they're struggling to get insurance. And I was able to tell them straight away who to use. And they're like, oh, why didn't we speak to you earlier? I'm like, I know, why didn't you? Just ask me these things. I can share these things. I am live in Northern Ireland. And I work with clients all over the world. And I've been doing a bit of speaking recently, Bob, which is really fun. I'm speaking at 3 events coming up in the next few months and really enjoying doing that, talking about LinkedIn, of course.
So the first time we met, LinkedIn wasn't really your main thing. So maybe a really good place to start is the whole saying of the riches are in the niches works very well in America, but in the niches, it doesn't work so well. But you know what I mean. Hopefully the listener knows what I mean.
Yeah.
What's driven that sort of crystallization down into focusing specifically on LinkedIn? And maybe for the listener, where did you come from?
Oh, Lord. So I have a background in software engineering and IT project management. And actually, a client said to me yesterday, she's in the pharmaceutical industry, and she said, Louise, what I like about you is that you're not a marketer. She's like, don't be offended. I'm like, no, I'm not offended. She says, you explain things in a way that really makes sense to me because you have this techie background. So that was what I was doing originally. I started a social media kind of really doing Facebook and Instagram for small businesses locally to me, Bob, in around 2013, I want to say. And it was around a whole combination of things, like a lot of women who start businesses. I had my young family. I had a really great job. as an IT project manager, I went part-time so that I could, well, first of all, when you have three kids, nobody can afford nursery fees for three kids. So the whole family juggle, I was part-time and I was told that I couldn't go any further up the career ladder in that role unless I went back full-time. I was like, nope, not for me. And I started a social media business because people pointed out that I seemed to know how to use these newfangled things called Facebook and Instagram. And I niched to LinkedIn about, I keep saying 5 years ago, so it must be like 6 years ago now, around 2017, I think. And there's multiple reasons why, but I wanted to stand out in a field where lots of people were becoming social media trainers and consultants. And my nature is to get really stuck into the nitty-gritty of how things work, which I suppose is the techie side of things. And you can't do that across all the platforms. You know, you can't really deep dive into the inner workings of more than two social media platforms and actually do your work and live your life and all that stuff. So LinkedIn, there's a culmination of things. I worked with a coach who suggested I should niche down. I was starting to realize and notice that, well, I literally delivered training that said, people go to Facebook for their friends and family. They go to Instagram for inspiration and they go to LinkedIn for business. And I'm like, hello, that makes so much more sense. Why am I not just focusing on companies who have money to invest and they are on LinkedIn? And what do they want to know about? They want to know about LinkedIn. I spoke at a council event here in Northern Ireland in 2016, maybe, it was a MLN network. So it's like a management leadership network. It's a big UK-wide network. And it was all suits in the room. And I was at the front and the council said, could you come and do a talk on social media? And I did. And all the questions were about LinkedIn. And I stood at the front of that room and I thought, I don't know enough of the answers to these questions. But I did recognize that the people who were in the audience had money to spend on whatever services they wanted. And people on LinkedIn had the money to invest in things where it might be harder or a longer road to getting someone to work with you from the other social media platforms. LinkedIn, it was faster. So yeah, wanted to niche down, wanted to become an expert, a real expert in one platform. And it looked like people who had money were on this platform, LinkedIn. And back then, Bob, there weren't any LinkedIn experts. I didn't know any. Nowadays, you find one in your hedge.
I think the thing with LinkedIn is back then, it was the ugly nephew of social media.
Yes.
But that nobody ugly nephew has grown up and to be the handsome, desirable young man. And everybody wants to
hire
him.
There you are. I backed the right horse.
Yeah. What's interesting, the way you describe it, it kind of sounds almost crude to say, I just followed the money. But what's interesting is money follows need. And what you're describing is there was a hunger, there was a desire, and there was an understanding that for those people, they were experiencing pain around LinkedIn because LinkedIn is where they saw all the opportunity. And so it makes absolute sense to niche into becoming a very valuable voice in that space. What's amazing for me is from the outside, I've watched you kind of transition from another social media speaker to probably one of a very small number of known LinkedIn voices. I mean, you're in a very small club of people who can justifiably be called the LinkedIn experts. I mean, there's like 10 or 15 people in the world. And I'm curious to know what difference has that made to your business being so visibly aligned with LinkedIn and LinkedIn influence would be the way I'd put it.
Yeah. So that was the other thing. To stand out, you need to niche down as well. And it has definitely played out well for me. And it means that you're very referable, which I think is really important. I think possibly like you, Bob, a lot of my business comes through word of mouth and people will say, regularly say, oh, I've got a call today with an American group and they were asking, does anybody do LinkedIn content for you? And somebody else said, oh, you need to speak to Louise Brogan. And that happens all the time. And interestingly, a lot of the work that I do is with people. So while I have a presence on LinkedIn and share a lot of stuff for people on LinkedIn on how to use LinkedIn, I actually find that a lot of people who hire me, especially for training work, to train their teams and stuff, or to do the content for them, they're not really on LinkedIn. They know that they should be, but they don't really know very much about it. And so that's why a lot of the business comes in through referral. And the YouTube channel has been a revelation. Started that during lockdown in 2020. I'm almost at 10,000 subscribers, which is not a lot on YouTube. Now, to, you know, any YouTubers listening are going, that's not very many. I describe it as a baby channel. However, I have made so much, I've got so much business from that channel because people have been searching for how to use LinkedIn and finding me on those videos. So I think what I'm saying is there's so many people out there who still don't really know how to use LinkedIn, even though it's become much more popular. And there's a danger if you work inside social media to think, oh, everyone's on LinkedIn, everyone knows how it works. Well, they really don't. And a lot of the business comes to me from people from outside of LinkedIn, which I suppose is why, you know, the YouTube channel has been a brilliant avenue for business, but also being on other people's podcasts and talking about LinkedIn will lead a lot of people to reach out to me and say, I never really thought of LinkedIn that way, Louise. And, you know, like, can we have a chat about how you do this? So also, thank you very much, Paul, for saying that. That's very complimentary.
So one of the things that really strikes me about LinkedIn, and I'm one of these people who has toes in pretty much all the ponds.
Yeah.
But if I had to pick one to keep, it would be LinkedIn right now. And it just does seem that all the smart money is on LinkedIn. I remember seeing, this sounds ridiculous, but Snoop Dogg posted on LinkedIn.
Yeah, this week.
Well, I saw it a few weeks ago and he was just saying, if you're going to focus on building your personal brand in 2024, this is Snoop Dogg. LinkedIn is the place to do it. Now, is he a LinkedIn authority? Of course not. But what it's telling me is it's not Instagram. It's not TikTok. I mean, yes, these things will get you visibility, but they won't get you depth of relationship. And I guess that leads me on to what I wanted to discuss really for the guts of the conversation today is there's lots of different ways to use LinkedIn. It's much more versatile than a lot of the social media platforms. Most people's experience of LinkedIn is scrolling, and that's pretty much it. But what are the main ways that you see people using LinkedIn? Maybe we can have a conversation about the diversity of ways you can use LinkedIn. And hopefully trigger or inspire people to use it ways they haven't been using it before.
Yeah, and that's a really good point, actually, because so a lot of the people that I speak to, I just delivered a workshop this morning to a small group of 8 people who their employer wanted them. It was like a taster session. Here's what LinkedIn can do for you. And, the questions at the end were, well, we don't really know even what if we're allowed to comment on the company content, you know, will we get in trouble with the market? This is a large organization, but it's a small team. You know, what are we actually allowed to say? So they don't say anything. And like most people, they open up LinkedIn, they scroll through everything, and then they come away again and they're saying, oh, no, I don't know what to say. I'm too nervous about doing anything on there, and which is a real shame. But there are so many different, this is what I like about it. You can do live streams on there, and for beginners you're not going to do that, but I recognize that you can go live on LinkedIn. You can host an audio room, which is where it's audio only, and people can actually attend both LinkedIn live video calls or streams on LinkedIn and the LinkedIn audio live rooms. They're called rooms. And you can just join them and be a passive observer to see what you think of these formats. Because one thing you might think, oh, audio, brilliant, love that. Or I'm never going to do video, Louise, or I'm never going to do a LinkedIn live stream. But then there's also the ordinary posts, of course, and the under posts There's so many different options. There are video posts, there are text posts, there are the LinkedIn polls, there are the carousel posts. And I'll tell you, Bob, people who are like, well, what's the best ones to do, Louise? For clients, we find the carousel posts get the most engagement. And that's where you upload like a PDF document that people swipe across to look at each slide. And every swipe or every interaction is counted as an engagement, which is why it's so much engagement on LinkedIn. But there's ordinary uploading an image post. And there's unofficial rules. There's best practice around all of these things. But the thing that stands out most for me and the thing I'm most excited about doing at the minute with our clients is the video stuff. And I actually did a talk in Bournemouth 2 weeks ago now called How to Cope with Video. Because I think people are like, oh, video, yikes, can't do that, Louise. So video posts, and LinkedIn have emailed people. So LinkedIn will email different people about different things. This is kind of interesting as well. They're like kind of giving little nudges to certain people about certain tools on the platform. And I'm not really sure how exactly you end up on a list for these things. But a friend of mine got an email from LinkedIn, from like a product manager at LinkedIn saying, we really are promoting video content on LinkedIn right now. And here are the best practice guidelines for that. And I'm like, why didn't you send that to me? Like, I'm doing video on LinkedIn, but hey, it's okay because my friend shared it. And that's the other thing about LinkedIn. People are very generous and very, I find, supportive and will share stuff with each other. But video content, there's multiple reasons why I think it's working really well at the minute. One is it is when you see someone talking on a screen to you, and it depends, of course, what way they've done the video, but if they're talking to you, you feel really connected to them. That's the first thing. Second thing is, I don't know if you've seen this, Bob, but there's a lot of AI content on LinkedIn right now, and there's a lot of AI coming from LinkedIn. We can dive into this if you like. There's collaborative articles, there is AI on your profile, there's multiple things, but there's also people are using AI to generate posts and comments. And some of these posts and comments are getting slightly better, but they kind of stick out a little bit. But if it's a video of you speaking on the screen right now, we know it's you and it's not an AI bot. It's not generated by an AI tool. And people are really connecting with that. So I'm loving video, but as I say, there's newsletters, polls, carousels, video, audio, multiple ways of creating content to share on LinkedIn.
I think a lot of platforms, so YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, and LinkedIn, people will say it's saturated. And what they don't appreciate is that it's saturated by a tiny minority of people. So the opportunities are there for everybody. And it's very easy to be super visible, especially on LinkedIn, because there are so many consumers and not a lot of contributors.
Yes.
And with things like everybody's sort of rushing around like headless chickens with AI, thinking, oh, the world's falling down. The content creator is doomed. And there's all these people generating what's always going to be, in my opinion, low quality content with AI, even when it's simulating me or you.
Yeah.
The more character and energy you can bring into a video, the more obvious it becomes that it's you. And the more you stand out against the backdrop of all this other generic, anodyne, homogenized AI content, because you can spot it a mile off.
You can.
And for me, as somebody who's very focused on helping people find their voice and step into their personal brand, you can't really AI that. When people see me writing something, they know it's me because it has a lot of character in it. I have my style, same with the video. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people might react very quietly, negatively to that, and that's fine. But enough people see my video and think, you know what? I kind of like him. And they seek me out. So I'm having a bit of a ramble, but I absolutely agree with you. I think video content is great. Yeah. I saw a study from Metricool. I don't know if you saw that same document they were sending around, where carousels were getting something like triple the engagement of other content.
Doesn't surprise me. Yeah.
Well, what I was going to say is that upset me a little bit, because it shouldn't. Video should be getting more, but if they're treating every swipe as an engagement, that's completely skewing the stats. So that's actually really refreshing to hear.
Yes. So the analytics that come out of LinkedIn are skewed anyway, Bob. So if you run a company page, because we do this, we run company pages, and I'm going to speak at a conference on LinkedIn company pages next week. The analytics are, I don't want to say they're false, but they're based off of engagement in terms of how many people the content was shown to. So if you have a company page with 1,000 followers and LinkedIn shows your, I don't know, whatever your post is, your post, your carousel, whatever, it doesn't really matter what it is, to 100 of those followers and 20 of them really like it and engage with it in some way, it says, oh, this post has 20% engagement. No, it doesn't, because that's not based off the number of followers of the page. And that is a bit cheeky, I think. But yeah, people get wise to these things. They're like, oh, we'll do a carousel post. And we do these for our clients, but also I like doing them. And we know that we'll get more engagement. But if you get more engagement on the post, then the next thing that goes out from your page also gets more visibility. So there's a, you know, you play around with these things. You don't just do the one type of content all the time. But I was losing my thread there. I was going to tell you something else. I can't remember what it was. Sorry.
Company pages and engagement. But if you've lost that thread, I have another question, which is,
yes, go for your next question.
With one of the key algorithm triggers, I guess, that they're looking for is, does a piece of content start a conversation? Because all the engagement, comments, and post engagements are what are a signal of a conversation. LinkedIn wants people to be having conversations. There's lots of tactics for triggering that, but I guess do you have any advice around when you're thinking about content, thinking about it from the perspective of how can I start a conversation here, as opposed to the kind of content that's just, here it is, take it or leave it, I'm off to the pub now.
Yes. So first of all, I try to always have my content deliver something that helps the person who is reading it or watching it. And I think that's really important. And that's what we do with our clients as well. So we base that around, you know, what do you get asked? You know, the whole they ask, you answer concept. What can you create or write or share that is helping the person? There's a whole piece around this, Bob. It's not like just one thing is content. You know, there's the whole build a network of value around yourself on LinkedIn. So if you start, you go to LinkedIn, I have my analogy of LinkedIn as being like an in-person conference. So when I go to a conference to speak and I know that room is full of people who want to hear what I have to say, that's wonderful, because I'm going to go and I'm going to speak and people are going to come up to me afterwards and ask me questions. And we're all going to have really, hopefully really get something out of it. And LinkedIn is the same. So you go to LinkedIn, and if you build a network around you, like a network of value, so that's people who are interested in what you have to say, they share stuff you're interested in, and you start to build a following on LinkedIn of people who, people follow me on LinkedIn because they know I will share useful stuff around how to use LinkedIn. And I do talk about small businesses as well, because that's my other little, you know, my other little hat's the small business champion. So I do share stuff like that, but it's mainly about how to use LinkedIn and trying to share helpful tips and advice. So at the minute I'm doing a series of short posts about how to use video, how to prepare for video, how long your video should be, et cetera, et cetera. And then I'll ask people, so my conversation starter could be, have you tried video? Or ideally for me, I want the comments to spark the next thing that I can answer for people. So it could be, if I'm looking to have a conversation with people who have never tried video before, it could be if I say, here's how to get started on video, here's three things that should help you, what other things would you want to know about how to do this? And it's a very natural way for people to respond to me, because remember, I'm connecting with people who are interested in this stuff in the first place. And I think where a lot of people go wrong on LinkedIn and on other platforms as well, of course, is they want to just grow an enormous following of people, don't really care who they are. Do they even care what you're talking about? And that's when your comments turn into not really very useful, helpful, or actually interesting to respond to. And I'm thinking of like Snoop Dogg. Like, do you think that his comments were, like, some of them might have been good value comments, but did he just get a lot of randomers commenting underneath? He probably had lots of people discussing about why is Snoop Dogg on LinkedIn. But does he have a network of value? I suppose there's that whole thing where, you know, he's obviously world famous, so lots of people are going to follow him regardless. But for you and I, curating a network of people around you, that if you were to host an event, a virtual summit or an in-person conference, people are going to come to that conference and I would imagine they'd be like-minded and the conversation would flow easily, and you'd probably get people asking how to work with you afterwards. And if you look at LinkedIn in that kind of frame, it's just more positive all around. You enjoy being there, you enjoy your conversations, people like your content, you're following stuff about people. Like, I'm following a lot of people who are giving nice easy tips about YouTube. I don't want to know the intricate, like, super geek data about YouTube channels. I just want to pick up the easy, nice tips. So I'm following those people. I'm engaging with their content. I'm asking them questions. They're coming back and they're answering them. Some of them are getting in my private messages and trying to sell me stuff. And I'm like, I'm not really looking to buy anything right now, but, you know, I appreciate whatever the posts you're sharing. And so it becomes your social media platform of choice because you're having fun while you're there, but you're also marketing your business. So it's just kind of resetting how you look at it all. You know, build a network of value, share stuff that helps people, have interesting conversations, and your people will start to ask how they can work with you. It's just a natural progression from that.
So I have two questions that follow on from that. The first one, I guess, is taking the idea of the network of value. If you look at how most people use LinkedIn, especially people who are on transmit, I'll put it that way. So they're content creators. They're sort of drive-by posters. I would almost plead myself guilty to this one, that you put up a video, you sit back and you wait for the likes and the comments and nothing happens. What you're describing of a network of value is where you're an active participant. Yes. And if I use the analogy of a conference, as you'd suggested, if you're the speaker who just comes in from the green room, does his talk and then leaves again, he doesn't have any relationships. There's no small talk. So he doesn't really have groupies. He doesn't really have a fan base. Whereas
people don't really like you like that.
Well, no, you wouldn't, would you? And I wouldn't be invited back to speak. But then there are the other speakers who are spending time out there with the participants, adding value to the event.
Yeah.
My question is, is LinkedIn rewarding intentionally those active content creators that are participating in other people's conversations?
I believe so. Yes. So they've said a couple of different things over the last couple of years. LinkedIn, they've come out with these, you know, we're focusing on this, or we're focusing on that. I don't know if you know, Bob, that they're removing creator mode. So they did create creator mode, which was giving people access to do LinkedIn Live, LinkedIn Audio, and to build followings. And they're doing away with the actual creator mode, but everybody will have access to those tools going forward. So we've also lost the bit under your name that says talks about LinkedIn, talks about podcasting, whatever. So that's gone already. And I think it's much more about building relationships. I think they recognize that. So the thing that most people don't really appreciate, and if we can take a complete step back from we're using LinkedIn to create content to drive our businesses, LinkedIn is using us to create interesting stuff so that more people come to LinkedIn and more companies come to LinkedIn, and those companies then start spending money on LinkedIn, and we're there I don't want to say we are the gladiators in the ring because nobody's getting anything cut or sliced off, hopefully.
You say that, but we're emotionally there. We are.
But we're there to entertain the crowd, and they want more of that. They want interesting conversation, thought leadership, engagement, because then the growth of LinkedIn since the pandemic, I think they've had like an extra 300 or 400 million people join since 2020. And people are spending more time on there because of people like you and me creating stuff. And of course you get rewarded for that. So the whole collaborative articles thing, that's an AI piece on LinkedIn. And it's gone a bit sideways at the minute. I don't know if you, so A, are you aware of collaborative articles, Bob?
I am. I keep getting hassled to participate in them. But okay. My question to you was going to be, how much participation does it require in order to see that top voice thing appear? But you're perhaps going to...
Well, not a lot.
All right.
So when this first came out, and it's been out quite a while, because I did a video on YouTube months and months ago. So collaborative articles, for anyone who is watching or listening and is like, what are they talking about? LinkedIn, so let's go back another step. LinkedIn is owned by Microsoft. Microsoft own either 49 or 50% of OpenAI, who own ChatGPT. So they are heavily invested in AI, okay? One of the things they're using on the platform regarding AI is they're using AI to create kind of skeleton articles. So it might be an article on personal branding. And then initially, people are still struggling to be invited to contribute, because I get questions about this in my YouTube video constantly. Well, Louise, how do you become a contributor? So I was initially invited to contribute to these articles. So you would see, and it's broken down, maybe it's an article with 10 paragraphs, and you're invited to give your response to any of the 10 paragraphs, right? And when you do enough of this, you get awarded a top community voice badge, which is like a gold, people say it's gold, I think that's a bit generous. It's like a goldy, creamy thing, but badge on your name that says you are a top community voice badge. Now, some people are pretending that they've been awarded a LinkedIn top voice, which is a completely different thing. That's the blue badge that you get. And very few people get that. However, Snoop Dogg has one. But now there is, as with everything that comes out onto platforms, there are easy ways to get these badges. And now there are people who are showing how easy it is to get them and then being super negative about them. And I'm like, negativity is not my go-to ever, Bob. I believe in, you know, if it's not for you, then just leave it and move to something else. You know, don't spend your time showcasing why this is so terrible and why you shouldn't do it. Because it's just like, what is wrong? Just go do something positive in the world. Anyway, so to get one of these community voice badges, you need to pick, when you look at the topic, so say it's personal brand would not be the subtopic. Personal brand might be the higher topic. So you want to pick a subtopic. So I'll say collaborative articles, personal brand. Personal brand's probably even underneath another topic. But you want to pick a subtopic area. And then there will be multiple articles written under that subtopic area. So my first top community voice badge was for small business. And interestingly, Bob, I didn't write anything about small business. I think I wrote about one thing. But I wondered, had they seen that I was a small business champion in my profile? And I just got it anyway, based off of writing like in one or two articles. So there's different topics. It's much easier to get a badge in. I don't think you get that now in small business badge, by the way. So if you pick three articles under that subtopic and contribute to those three articles and then do that the next day and the next day, you're quite likely to get a top community voice badge, which you can then show off to people. And I think, you know, why not? Why not give people something they can go, hey, I'm a personal brand coach. Look at my top community voice personal brand badge. But some people are now writing really gibberish comments in the articles to make a point of it. And I'm like, So there's two negative things are happening. That's one of them. And the other one is people are saying, look how easy and fast it was to get this. This is why they're useless and irrelevant. Well, why take that away from somebody who actually, somebody works in a large corporate and their boss has said, we want you to become known for, let's think of a corporate thing that you want to be known for, Bob, rather than personal branding. You know, you want to be known as an expert in Microsoft Excel advanced skills or something. I don't know, something like that. I know that's a terrible example. But you can go to your boss and say, I have been proactive. I've gone to LinkedIn. I'm contributing to this. Other people reading these articles on this tech or this software can see my contribution and I have earned this community voice badge. And their boss says, well, you know, great, let's put that down on your KPI and it shows that you're active and you're engaged. And, you know, what's wrong with that?
Yeah, I think there's lots of, when we're looking at potential vendors, there are so many conversion levers, points of difference. They're all marginal. Sometimes we would call them trust indicators. And they all influence us unconsciously. And that badge is a significant, almost subconscious trust indicator that could be enough to tip somebody over the edge and say, you know what, I'm going to reach out.
Yes.
If somebody's trying to decide, do I go with Louise or do I go with Bob?
Yeah.
My unconscious is going to pull me in the direction of greatest trust. So
yes, and why not? That reminds me, Bob, of another little thing on LinkedIn that most people are very unaware of, and that is product page reviews on LinkedIn. So people might not even know what a product page is. So if you have a software, so your company that has a software product, so let's pick Buffer or Asana, because you and I would both recognize those products. On their Asana's company page on LinkedIn, which has all the people who work there, who are the CEOs, the COOs, who are the techies who work there, et cetera, et cetera. Where's their locations, their offices? But they also have a products tab. And under the products tab, the company, if they are aware of how to do this, will have uploaded demos of their software products onto the products page tab. You can go as a user and show and leave a testimonial or a review of that product on that product page, which then can be added onto your personal profile. So if you are going, you know, you're saying to people, I am a productivity expert, you can have those reviews of that product and then it ties into your personal profile. So when someone's going down your profile, they'll see the productivity tool software logo on your profile as somebody who has been involved in this product page.
That's very clever. So I want to bring things back to video because I think for most people, that's probably the biggest opportunity, I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
And I have a very practical question that if you're putting a video on LinkedIn, ideally we're going to caption it ourselves and not necessarily let LinkedIn do it for us, although they will. But my question is more around, if I'm posting a 1 or 2 minute video that's essentially captioned, you could be forgiven for thinking, well, the post is now superfluous. I don't need to write anything. What is best practice?
Oh, you absolutely need to write something. Absolutely. So when you upload video onto your personal profile, and it is interesting because you have to turn their captions off so that their captions end up sitting over the top of my embedded captions. I also need to remember to turn them off.
I've made that mistake too.
But then write the post that introduces what the video is. There's multiple reasons why, Bob. Not everyone actually does want to watch video. I mean, I do, but also I like reading stuff. Even though I have lots and lots of video content, I actually get more from reading than I do from anything else. So you're hitting a multiple, how people like to take in information. What is that word? Can't remember.
Consume.
But the people who like to read and the people who want to watch. So you're hitting two different audiences there. But also think about your keywords being found through LinkedIn's algorithm search. I was ahead of my workshop this morning I typed the name of the organized, a very, very large organization here in Northern Ireland, into the search bar on LinkedIn. And I was kind of shocked. It shows you in the search, it says people, posts, and then companies in the search results. And I ignored the people. In the posts, the two posts that showed up, one was from 2 years ago and one was from 4 years ago. And neither of them were from the organization whose name I typed into the search bar. So the search tool on LinkedIn is phenomenally strong. Mm. So you do want to write in your post what your video is about and what people will learn from your video. In the same way that if you're putting a video on YouTube, you also put in the description and the title and all that stuff. So absolutely tell people, introduce your video, tell them what the key things are going to be, and then ask them the question, remember, to get the conversation started. And then if you're going to get frequent with your videos on your personal profile, when you go to your personal profile yourself and you go down to the posts and activity section, you can choose to have video as the first thing other people view when they look at your profile. So I've been doing a lot of stuff with my newsletter because I don't think I told you this, Bob, I'm writing a book. Yay! And part of my book writing process is to publish a weekly newsletter, which is basically, I'm doing the Pat Flynn model. I'm writing the book out in a series of newsletters. Now, there'll be loads of other bits in the book as well, but that's keeping me on the straight and narrow to get the book actually written. And so I've had newsletters as the primary thing that people see when they go to my profile, but I probably should have video as the primary thing because that's actually the package that we are really focused on selling this year, is the video visibility package. But I've been doing the newsletter because like most people who are entrepreneurs, Bob, I've got, you know, my head's just shooting off in different directions. Yeah. So do I focus on the video or do I focus on the newsletter? And I
want to talk to about the video. How people can actually do business with you in a minute. But I have one final practical, tactical question, which is with YouTube and Instagram and Facebook and TikTok all promoting portrait mode, short form videos. Me as a content creator, I'm thinking, well, I can get so many bites of the cherry if I just focus on portrait mode. What's LinkedIn's perspective on the portrait mode, short form video?
It's the same. Remember I said to you about my friend getting the email from them? They said 90 seconds vertical video, portrait video. So one of the talks that I did in Bournemouth, I called it How to Cope with Video, and the COPE stands for Create Once, Publish Everywhere. So I am creating my video for LinkedIn, but I am putting it out on YouTube Shorts and on, hilariously, I opened a TikTok account. I may not continue with that. There's another person speaking at that conference who is a TikToker. I'm like, oh, well, I may as well put it on there as well and see how it goes. which actually brings the full circle around to why niche on LinkedIn. The TikTok videos are getting 300-400 views, like literally within a few hours. Zero business, Bob. Whereas the stuff I put on LinkedIn is much more, doesn't get anywhere near that. And the YouTube Shorts, I don't know what I'm doing wrong there. They get like single digit numbers sometimes. But create once, put everywhere, because you may as well repurpose it. But my core is for putting on LinkedIn, but then I put on those other places as well. But yes, vertical too.
That is very reassuring to hear, because honestly, if LinkedIn decided they were going to go a different direction with video, oh, kill me now. It would just be too much. So I'm very relieved. Well,
so Bob, I went to Social Media Marketing World this year, and you'll be glad to hear that I'm going back next year, so hopefully we'll be there together.
Yes.
It was brilliant, but I met a company there who they clip your video, and as long as you're positioned right, we could turn this screen here into a vertical video of me talking with their software with like a couple of clicks.
Yes. No, Opus Clip is top of my list.
Yeah.
Louise, this has been awesome. I'm very aware we haven't really spoken about the networking side of LinkedIn at all. And I think we were doing so well with the content side of things. I thought, we're probably going to need a part two sometime soon where we can maybe focus on the networking side of things for those people who just are not content creators. There's so much more that you could do. But for those people who do want to become content creators on LinkedIn, you have stuff. So why don't you tell us about that?
So I have a free guide for anybody who would like to get it on how to get started on LinkedIn. So they just need to go to louisebrogan.com/PBB. I have to say, Bob, that's hard to say, PBB. And I have, honestly, I have 250 plus videos on YouTube that will teach you everything you need to know about using LinkedIn. And I have a podcast, and connect with me on LinkedIn as well. But one of the things, and this is about personal branding, this show, this is perfect for what we are doing at the minute, which is the video package that I'm doing with people who want to raise their, it is about personal brands. So it's CEOs, coaches and consultants who want visibility on LinkedIn and don't have time to do it themselves. So what I do is we book in 1 hour a month. We plan in advance the questions I'm going to ask them. I interview them like this, except the end result is a series of short video clips of the person speaking as an expert on camera. And then we write the accompanying posts for those and also extra posts to go alongside that. And we post them for people on LinkedIn. And it's, I don't normally describe a whole package on a podcast, but honestly, I love doing this so much. Like, it's just really, it's really fun. And I think the people I'm working with on this really say it's just easy. I make it really easy for them and it's enjoyable. So I'd like to do that with more people. So if anyone wants to talk about that, then just ping me a message on louise@louisebrogan.com or, of course, on LinkedIn.
What I love about that is it's very low input, high output.
Yes.
I think if somebody has to sit down and script something and hit the record button and then go back and edit it, that's a lot of emotional turmoil to go through. Whereas if all you have to do is jump on a Zoom call and answer some questions and be edited and made to look awesome afterwards, it's amazing what you can accomplish in an edit. I tell you from personal experience, all my videos are garbage until they're edited. And then I look amazing.
The people I'm doing this with, some of them have tried it themselves and they're like, yes, I know I could do this myself, Louise, but it would take forever and I'll do it for like 3 months and then I'll just forget to do it. And, you know, so this means it's like an appointment with Louise once a month.
Yeah, it's a really good idea.
Yeah, and it's really fun to do.
So Louise, I need to bring things to a close with my final question. And that is, what's one thing you do now that you wish you'd started 5 years ago?
Oh, so 5 years ago was 2019, right? Well, 2019, I decided I was going to become a speaker. And then the pandemic put paid to that. So I'd already decided to speak back then. I think YouTube, it's been really surprising to me, Bob, how much business I've gotten from YouTube. And also, it's not even the business side of things, it's the people that I am helping. It's not my typical client that I am getting clients from it, but there's so many people who are marketing assistants or they are starting out their careers and they need to have a LinkedIn profile and they are asking me questions and they're just leaving. Like, I think I've had two negative comments in 4 years. Yeah. And one of those was around gender, because I did a video about how to add your pronouns. So it was nothing even about me. But there's a lovely woman from Bangladesh left a comment a few weeks ago. And she's never going to be my client. But she just says, Louise, thank you so much for these videos. There's no blip, blap, blup in them. And I really appreciate it. I was like, that's so lovely. It's like making an impact with people. But also, I've ended up, you know, I kind of did it because it was lockdown, Bob, and I was like, give me a project to do. I don't want to like learn crochet. What am I going to do? So I started a YouTube channel, and it's just been fabulous. The benefits.
Yeah, there's nothing more potent than video right now, and there's no better platform for that to give a home than YouTube. It's a wonderful discovery asset. Well, Louise, thank you very much for your time It's been great fun to speak to you again. I'm going to have you back again soon. But thank you very much.
Yes. All right. Thank you so much, Bob. It's lovely to catch up with you.
And that does bring us to the end of another episode. Thank you to you at home for listening and on YouTube for watching. If you did enjoy this show, then again, you could let the platforms know with a 5-star review, and don't forget to subscribe before you go. Thanks for listening or watching, and I will see you next time.